That's it.
Father, we just come today, Lord, giving your name all the glory, honor, and the praise. Lord, thanking you for your faithfulness, dear Lord. Thanking you, Lord, for your grace and mercy, dear Lord. Thanking you, Lord, for how you kept us through the storms, dear Lord. How you kept us on the highway. How you kept us where there was water overflowing the highways, dear Lord. Father, we thank you that you kept our roofs on tight, dear Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for those that have come out today, Lord, to bless and to praise you, dear Lord, to lift up your holy name, dear Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just ask, Lord, hallelujah, that you'll just continue to open, touch the hearts of your people, dear Lord, in order that they might hear all that you're speaking to us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just pray, Lord, hallelujah, Lord, that your revelation knowledge would flow, Lord, hallelujah. Even the simplest of things, dear Lord, that you've spoken to us, Lord, we still haven't caught on sometime. So, Father, just asking, Lord, hallelujah, that even the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditations of my heart, Lord, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Today we're going to talk about the matters of the heart. Amen. Matters of the heart. You know, the heart is forever deceitful. Who can know the heart? What is mercy? Back in the day, we would often hear the term or the statement, Lord, have mercy. It was used when something unusual or something unexpected had happened. Many times the statement was used expressing a tragedy. More often than not, it was voiced in the backyard over the fence when the neighbors were sharing hot gossip. Today, we want to take a deeper perspective of this word mercy and how it should impact our lives. Amen. If I asked you about your knowledge of God's mercy, about 95% of you would readily identify and reference the work of the cross. You would probably quote Luke 23:34, where Jesus spoke to his father saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You might talk about God's mercy and love in that God shared and gave us his only begotten son, that he exhibited the greatest example of mercy by sending Jesus to save us in our wickedness. We all know a lot of scriptures about mercy, but today we're going to really talk about what mercy is all about. How many of us really know what is required of us as born-again believers, having professed Jesus as Lord and Savior, in terms of what mercy is and what mercy should be to us? How many of us mirror the image of Christians of our Savior? How many of us mirror the image of Christ in our day-to-day actions as pertains to mercy? Luke 6:36 tells us to be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Mercy is not to be taken lightly. Amen. Mercy appears in 261 passages in the King James Version. A working definition of mercy is a mission performed to relieve suffering. It's forgiveness in action. Mercy and compassion go hand in hand. They both require an action, and that action is far more than forgiveness. Mercy meets a need. It's coming to the aid of someone who is suffering with an act of compassion. Bottom line, mercy is an action. That action that needed might be physical help. It might be spiritual in nature, such as prayer, such as counseling, intercession. It might just be emotional support, acceptance, showing someone that you're a friend, showing someone that you really care for them. Mercy takes on so many different forms and characters. Compassion recognizes the suffering of others, but mercy kicks in and does something about it. There are so many examples of mercy being shown in the Bible, so many different case studies that we can't miss it if we try. To name a few, Joseph, sold into slavery by his jealous brothers, rose to power in Egypt. There was a famine in the land of Canaan. His brothers came looking for food, in spite of how they had treated him. He fed them, he took care of them. He took them through some things first, but he did take care of them because he loved his brothers. Ruth loved Naomi, her mother-in-law. She had compassion on her as her husband and sons were dead. In an act of selfish selfless compassion and sympathy, Ruth left her people and traveled back to Bethlehem and settled with her mother-in-law in order to take care of her. We also see the law of merciful obtaining mercy, because by Ruth traveling back to Bethlehem with Naomi, Boaz instructed the workers in the field to leave grain for Ruth to pick up in order that she would have food to survive. This was compassion sharing with the needy. In Acts, there was Dorcas, known for her care of the widows and her provision of clothing for the poor. She was well known for her kindness, and when she became sick and died, the townspeople were devastated. They called for Peter. Peter took her by the hand and raised her from the dead. When Saul was pursuing David in an attempt to kill him, instead of hurting him, David cut off the corner of his robe. When he found him sleeping, he showed mercy to Saul. He could have killed Saul if he wanted to, but David trusted God. Amen. The prodigal son, Luke 15:20, requested of his father his inheritance. He left the farm, took his finances, squandered them on good times, wine and women. When the money ran out and he was at rock bottom, he decided to return home. Even when he was a great way off, his father saw him, ran and met him, fell on his neck, and worshiped and praised the living God for sending his son back to him. Amen. He kissed him. He prepared a great party and a feast for his returning son. Jesus performed numerous acts of compassion in times of need. To name a few, he healed a deaf man. He cleansed 10 lepers. He calmed the seas. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Fed 5,000 hungry people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Amen, amen. Are we mirroring the examples of mercy that we have in the Word? God tells us in Matthew 22:37-39, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first commandment and great commandment. And the second is that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If God, in his love and mercy, placed our futures and our well-being over that of his son, his only begotten son, are we not to follow that example from the standpoint of the mercy that we should show one another? We receive God's mercy all day long as ones who are entitled. But what examples do we show in the mercy that we extend to others? We have been programmed or taught through selfishness to make sure that we are straight. It's a mentality that says, I've got mine, you have to get yours. I will see to it that my family comes first, my family is tight, my children are okay. It's always I, me, and my with us. That's one-sided thinking. We hear the statement far too often, child, don't worry about those people. They need to take care of themselves. They need to do what they need to do to handle their business. They need to handle their own business. The Bible speaks volumes about how we treat one another. A funny little story, some time ago, when I think we had probably been married a few years, Antoine was young, little boy, and so I was always one for wanting to make sure when the snow came, I loved the snow, that I had a lot of wood for the fireplace, that I had all the food that I wanted to eat, and that I had all the blankets and the throws and everything, and the slippers, and I could just sit down and chill and watch the snow. Well, we had gotten back from the grocery store, and it was snowing to beat the band. And I said, great day. I'm just ready to sit down and kick back. I said, this is cool. And my husband said, well, what about the people that don't have groceries? What about the people that don't have wood? I said, it crushed me because I didn't even think in that manner, you know. It just crushed me, but that was a long time ago. He know now that I really have mercy, especially on him. How do we measure mercy that's spiritual in nature as opposed to physical or material, the kind of mercy that speaks to the matters of the heart? One way to measure our heart's mercy is to recognize how patient we are with people. We have so, well, especially the people that have a lot of idiosyncrasies and got quirks, and as Antoine always say, they got issues. It bears patiently with those who have wronged us. That's the kind of mercy we're looking for. The God kind of mercy that shows pity, that shows compassion and kindness toward people. We can also gauge our mercy by how helpful we are to those who are hurting mentally and physically. Romans 12:8 says, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is given, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Do we give people a second chance or maybe a third chance that have been bruised or have wronged us in some way? Colossians 3:13 tells us to bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Matthew 18:21-22, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Verse 22, Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but 70 times seven. How do we treat those who have offended us? Those who maybe viciously assassinated our character? Maybe we were deceived in a business deal. Did someone get the job that you felt you were more qualified for? Mercy makes a habit of giving others the benefit of the doubt. Mercy is not in the habit of sending glares at people who annoy them. Now, I'm going to tell you about that annoyance. In the mornings, when I come over here, I have to hit 64 before I get on 95 and before I get on Chippenham. So on 64, the roads are all torn up because they're doing some bridge work. Now, there's three lanes that are people on the right that are going over in the west end, people in the middle that are either going to keep straight through or they're going to get over on the left to get on Interstate 95. Man, nothing burns me up and annoys me no more than I stay on my lane. I get on the left lane because I know that the middle lane is going to run out. So, you know, you stand behind all this traffic because everybody in the middle lane is jumping over into the left lane because they need, left lane because they need to get out. Now, what so many people do is they will ride that middle lane and then they look at you and they want to get in. And I'm like, I'm not going to do it because you know the lane was going to run out. And I'm afraid to kind of look at them. I get so annoyed. And, you know, then, and I told the Lord, I said, I know I'm wrong. I said, but I let in one today. I did let in one. I mean, because they know that the lane is going to run out. And so it's like, no, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to just roll through that middle lane. And then when you get up there, after you sat on the highway 20 minutes, I'm going to jump in front of you. I'm working on it. Those feelings, thoughts, and reflections of pain and anger aren't easily forgiven. We must purpose in our hearts to release those that have wronged us. We must get the help we need by invoking the healing of the Holy Spirit, enabling us to move on in love and forgiveness. We must be adamant about our decisions to release these people that have hurt us. We must, by the mercies extended to us by God, release people. We will never experience true freedom in this life without letting go and letting God. That same mercy that Jesus extended on the cross, written about in Luke 23:34, where Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the example that we ought to follow. Have we all not at some point in time in our lives, even prior to getting saved, and some even after you get saved, trashed people's names, lied on them, cheated, stolen, hurt people's feelings, deceived, wronged, slandered? Were we not forgiven and reinstated, accepted in God's grace and mercies freely? Freely you receive, freely you give. Something to think about. If we don't have it within us to show mercy and compassion to others, ask yourself, do I have a heart problem or do I have a salvation problem? In spite of all our negative experiences in life, our ups and downs, our losses, our gains, if we are to mirror the life that our Savior lived, we must have the compassion to recognize the suffering of others and have the mercy to do something about it, if at all possible. Our part in displaying mercy could encompass a number of things. pray and ask the Father what your role is in enhancing the lives of those that are in your view. You might come to the aid of the elderly or the sick by providing a meal. Pick up some staples at the grocery store and carry them over. Send a card or some flowers to show you care. A phone call can be just what the doctor ordered. Call and say, I'm just checking on you to see if there's anything that I can do for you. Don't say to yourself, it's the thought that counts. That's lame and it's lazy.
Amen.
Mercy requires action. Someone may have lost a loved one. If possible, pay a visit. Sit a while, encourage and comfort. You know, back in the day, people would always, your house would be so crowded if you lost a loved one. Everybody would come over. Now you don't see a neighbor hardly. You know, they may send you a text, send you a card or some flowers, but people used to come and you'd almost want to run them out of the house because they stay so long. You done stayed up all night and cried two or three nights, they won't go home. Someone may have trusted God to make it to the church or to work on just gas fumes, and the gas gauge is showing E by the time they get in here. God will let you know you can help out. It will bless you and it will build their faith. Proverbs 3:27 and 28 says, do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is your power within your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you today. God gave us his all, his only, because of his overwhelming love for us. Mirror the example given by Jesus in terms of how we treat one another according to God's word. Be extremely mindful of how we treat one another, the mercy we show, the compassion that we minister. All of us have missed a mark in terms of how we treat people at some point in time in our lives. Embrace a position of refusing to judge. God is the only just judge. Show people that they won't be judged for their struggles. Of course, everything is not to be labeled as a struggle. Some situations that people find themselves are just a result of rebellion, self-will, and a refusal to take God to counsel. That's why we must pray and seek the Father's direction in terms of ministry. There are many that have a heart to do right, but don't have the ammunition of the Holy Spirit to aid in the struggle. We must allow people to share their struggles without fear of being judged, exposed, or rejected. John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love is the identifying mark for everyone who is a disciple of the Lord. Mercy and love go hand in hand. As the true body of Christ, if we, the church, understand the concept of our commandment to love, and if we take this word to heart, displaying love one to another, as a body of believers, we would be unstoppable. After all, it's a matter of the heart.